Just introduce ourselves, colleagues. And of course, we are members of the portfolio committee on the cooperative governance and traditional affairs. And the committee of 11 members, 6 ANC, 2 DA, 1 EFF, and others alternatively. There are other members. Other parties will always attend. I think they are represented here by Sengwa from the IFP, would be a good idea to start with you, Milham, to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Kevin Malam. I'm a member of Parliament and a member of the committee.
I'm David Matrepen, a member of Parliament.
Namakoko, member of this committee. Abraham Mulefe Mudao, member of this committee.
Amosko Sondo, member of the committee.
From the ANC, a member of this committee.
Otabo Manyoni, Chairperson Salga. Honorable, His Excellency, Comrade,
good morning, Chair. I'm Bonile George, Chief Executive of SALA.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Mpona Awadi, Deputy Chair of SALA.
Good evening, Member of SALA. Morning, Chair. I'm Laurette Tredou. I'm an official at SALGA, responsible for governance and intergovernmental relations.
I'm Maureen Tukali, working in the Terminal Office of SALGA.
Thank you, colleagues, for the introduction. Can we proceed there? And invite, I think there's one apology that is presented of Honorable Shemwa. Is there another apology, Secretary? Okay, there's only one apology. Can we invite you, then, the leadership of SALGA, to make your presentation?
thanks, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee. Yes, Chairperson, as you indicated earlier, though today we will be more concentrating on the APP, yes, there will be issues that we might just flag at the end of the presentation, so that when we meet next time, we can then go into details on some of those matters. I must say I'm quite happy to see some of the members. Though some of the members are failing you, it means then we must explain ourselves thoroughly. I'm happy with Bob Masson is also here, so we can't mislead the committee. But he will also be able to highlight any areas that we might not have touched on. Chairperson, SALGA is an organized formation pertaining to local government. We think it is quite an important body on matters pertaining to governance generally. Yes, our mandate in terms of the constitution is outlined, and amongst others we have to advocate, lobby and represent organized local government at national level. And I must say, even if the constitution doesn't explicitly say so, we also represent organized local government in the international fora platforms. We also obviously develop position papers, guidelines, frameworks, make inputs on legislation that affects local government. Fortunately or unfortunately, the legislation that affects local government is almost all legislation, from energy to child welfare and so forth. Anything that, because basically at the end of the day, it's about the act of parliament that has to be enforced, enacted at local government level. We also, amongst others, support provinces with the implementation and interface with municipalities. It has been a long journey for organized local government. To date, I'm quite happy to inform the committee that, amongst others, we were able to put on the LCOP agenda what we call the Local Government Week, where the SOP is solely concentrating on matters pertaining to local government and its function of oversight and so forth, and also to deal with challenges that local government municipalities are faced with as the SOP, in other words, as the total parliament. Yes, we also are an employer body, the most difficult part, particularly during this time of the year, where we have to negotiate and try to bring stability in the labor force to make sure that we deliver the necessary services that South Africans are expecting. We also are sharing knowledge with municipalities, support. As members will be aware, tomorrow the Auditor General will be tabling the report, and the main question would be, what is SALGA doing in relation to the report to make sure that those who are less effective or less fortunate are also assisted, capacitated to also be able to meet the necessary basic requirements. So though we established in terms of the constitution, there are certain weaknesses that I indicated, Chairperson, that we might flag later after our presentation. Reviewing the legislation that is guiding us to make sure that at least we have permanent members representing local government. That will assist, obviously, in ensuring that we make the necessary inputs on legislation so that we don't have to always be handling matters pertaining to the Act legislation when already the necessary processes have been dealt with by the NCOP and related working groups. But amongst us, we also, as organized local government, have to deal with matters of governance and the politics behind legislation and so forth, which I think we will highlight after the presentation. If you allow, Chairperson, I would allow our CEO, Mr. George Tolile, to give us a presentation, and then we will then engage, if you allow, on discussions. The good news is, even though the Auditor General has not yet formally presented the report, I must indicate that as SALGA, obviously we are supposed to be exemplary and leading. In this regard, we have again achieved a clean audit. I used to say I don't know what a clean audit is until I get it. So the good news are, yes, and I think that it is proper for us to be exemplary so that municipalities can follow in this regard. Tolila.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning to all honorable members of the committee. The focus of this presentation would take threefold. Firstly, to focus on the introductory part of reinforcing what the Chairperson of SALGA has outlined, the role and the existence of SALGA. And so as members of the committee who may be new in terms of familiarity with what are the objects of organized local government and its mandate, we can reflect a bit on that part. The second part will be on the annual performance plan, what our key focus areas are. And lastly, focus on the areas of policy and legislative engagement, which we think are part of the refinement agenda on the improvements of local government, the areas that particularly we would like the portfolio committee to assist in pursuing to realize that dispensation. So those are the three parts of the presentation. Chairperson, on the eve of the 2016 local government election, SALGA would be 20th. It was established in 1996, and in the 2016 local government election, we would be 20 years. So much as local government would be approaching as part of the 2010, in the year 2000 to 2016, in terms of democratic local government, we have also notched up a lot of maturation as an organization from its evolution up to date in terms of the mandate area. But primarily, the object of organized local government is to provide procedures for consultation around national and provincial government, designate representation to NCOP, participate in the processes of our fiscal IGR, meaning at the level of FFC, and also to make sure that we advocate for the interest of local government in the lawmaking and policymaking process. But more of this mandate has been further nuanced in the new legislation that was passed since 2000, the Local Government Systems Act, as well as the Local Government Structures Act. In the main, the nuancing took the mandate of SALGA much more further to say your role is not only to represent the interests of local government, be it the employer body, but you must also find solutions for problems facing local government. So that has been a further passing of SALGA to not only partake in the IGR agenda in the interest and furtherance of local government, but also to actively find solutions for local government. Now, in terms of the arrangements for SALGA, we are a national organization of all municipalities, but we also take the shape of provincial representative model, having provincial associations across all 9 provinces. It's a fairly complex governance framework in terms of how we collect our mandates, because we are a mandated organization. We collect mandates from member municipalities, advocate for those mandates, validate them through structural arrangements, either provincial members of assembly, internally through what we call working groups, provincial executive committee, national executive committee, and national member assembly and conference. So it's a fairly organized routine governance system that we adhere to. In a short slide, this is the mapping of the overall thrust of the SALGA mandate. To be the voice of local government, but tasked with the mandate of lobbying, advocating, and representing the interests of local government. In that process, have specific pillars of capacity building for councillors, for officials within municipalities, and undertake employer collective bargaining engagement plus knowledge management and sharing in local government. So this is how we have prepared the annual performance plan of SALGA, that we then distill all the mandates we receive from members. But the relevance of that, it must at all times respond to the national strategic imperatives that are outlined in our country at the level of cabinet, the medium-term strategic framework for the 5-year term, the national development plan, and the policy priorities outlined by the minister responsible for local government. So we are more getting into the collaborative approach to finding solutions to challenges facing local government. The National Executive Committee of SALGA, once that process has been fairly canvas across provinces, it will then identify what we call APEC priorities. And so far, Jefferson, in the APP that maps out the 2012-2017 focus agenda for SALGA, 3 main APEC priorities constitute what we think are the game-changing areas of transforming local government. We have long been advocating for what we call a differentiated approach to managing and supporting local government. And I think SALGA is increasingly being proved correct in its advocacy that local government should not and must not be undertaken in such a way that laws, policies are blanketed across the board, regardless of the strength of a municipality or the weakness of a municipality. So the emerging policy approach now is beginning to acknowledge that we can't be advocating for laws that are blanketing local government and not allowing a differentiated model. Otherwise, results become uneven in the performance of local government. So we've identified that for this next 5 years, we must review legislation and policy that impacts negatively on local government. The second APEC is to review the fiscal and financial management framework in such a way that it acknowledges that differentiation. The distribution of powers and functions must also acknowledge that differentiation in terms of the relative capacities of local government, and also in an ongoing way aim to improve capacity of local government. So this becomes the core focus for our agenda as mandated by the 2012-2017 focus of local government terms.
We have then distilled those areas, Chairperson, into 7 goal areas. And these goals largely respond to what are the main imperatives of outlining the 2013 NDP goals, looking at outcomes and impacts that must be translated in local government. One of those speaks directly to the question of accelerating equitable and sustainable municipal services to local government. The minister spoke immediately after the portfolio committee to what is called getting the basics right in local government. What are the minimum core non-negotiables that local government must deliver on? And one of those speaks to accelerating the basic services and having a minimum core set of basket offerings by local government. We have identified this in 2011, and our goal execution looks at what are some of the impediments, either in policy, either in resources, fiscal transfers to local government, that could assist in promoting bulk infrastructure or priority projects in local government. So the National Infrastructure Coordinating Committee established by the President Salga sits on that, and its main mandate in that structure is to make sure that these priority areas identified, we ensure that there is seamless interface between local, provincial, and national to execute those particular programs. Where there's policy constraints, impediments, we push for the refinements around those areas. The regulatory environment towards sustainable service provision of municipalities is one of the core focus areas where, through the FFC, we, in an ongoing way, advocate for the refinement of these regulations that, left unattended, they could impede the pace of local government to deliver services. The second goal speaks to what is called safe and healthy environment and communities, and it speaks to a basket of focus areas around socio-economic impact, what is normally referred to in the objects of local government in Section 152, promotion of a basic social and environmental and health services to communities. So we're looking at integrated environmental management program, facilitation of safer communities in terms of the role of local government on such aspects as migration, the challenges faced by cities, as well as a well-defined and funded local government role in the district health. Those are the core focus areas of SALGA in advocating for the functioning of local government. The goal number 3 speaks also to the NDP around planning and economic development at local level, and specifically mobilizing local government to lead the fight against poverty, inequality, and marginalization. So specific programs around LED, specific programs around ICT agenda in local governments to promote access, and in particular to marginalized groups. And secondly, to ensure that SALGA is promoting local government as an epicenter of development and trends. So these are the areas that, through the built environment reform agenda, in terms of ensuring that we achieve spatial equity, the creation of livable communities amongst our people is a central thrust of our focus as SALGA. So we are lobbying for municipalities to implement the 2 main drivers in terms of interventions around promoting job creation, the extended public works program, the community works program, to make sure that rural development becomes the core focus areas for both the urban settings as well as rural settings in our municipal membership. The 4th goal is around the goal execution, to look at promoting effective and responsive local governance that is accountable to communities. Here is where we think that if a main focus were to be to strengthen this part, the oversight, the functioning of accounts, meetings to take place, oversight to be done properly, it will go a long way in impacting positively to the rest of other goal areas. And so far, the role played by SALGA in 2011 has largely been to advocate for the establishment of main oversight machinery in the form of portfolio committees, separation and resourcing of those. This has now been achieved. The Section 80 committees, the Section 79 committees, in terms of even getting recognition that we need to push towards the separation of these functions. The second part, looking at the mirror of provincial and national legislatures to have what we call municipal public accounts committees. We have advocated for this. It has now been properly established in local government, almost at 97% across the board. The audit committee. So the functioning of all of this, we think that it will go a long way in ensuring that the internal machinery at the level of governance, the municipal function, proper accountability is ensured, and then citizens can partake in the public participation process of municipalities. So this is one of our main focus areas as well, capacitating local government structures to execute this problem. The second related aspect of that is around leading the fight against corruption. Again, organized local government took a major bold initiative in 2013 after participation in the renewal of the strategy for anti-corruption to actually take the lead in local government on the fight against corruption, establishing structures, committing local government to pledges, and committing to daily exposure and ensuring that all forms and manifestations of corruption are attended to in local government within the reality of the legal framework that governs this process. So local government is at the center of committing to a multi-pronged approach around areas of fighting corruption. The human capital development in local government is one of the key areas, again, working close to the goal number four of strengthening governance. Here we're looking at strengthening councillors to play their leadership role, their oversight role, and secondly, to be able to interact with communities in a much more effective way. The second part of this is to look at the senior echelon of management in terms of strengthening the competencies of senior managers in municipalities, and also to strengthen the collective bargaining role of SALGA in terms of partaking processes at NEDLAC, as well as the human resource policy discussion. We have now established, Chairperson, what we call an integrated human resource management and development strategy for the sector, which has already largely been implemented. To date, we speak of the professionalization framework for local government. To look largely around norms and standards, rating local governments to make sure that once the Public Admin Act is finally operationalized, we have also reformed transversally the norms and standards that must ensure seamlessness at the level of local government. So it's one area that is the main focus at this point in time. The difficulty, though, is around attraction and retention of skilled local government. This becomes one of the critical ongoing challenges to retain, especially in less capacitated municipalities. In goal number six, it's around financially and organizationally capacitated municipalities. It is a main challenge, both at the level of the fiscal policy. SALGA is advocating strongly for the review of the fiscal IGR framework to make sure that local government secures a much more better dispensation. At this point in time, less than 9% of the fiscal transfer accrues to local government. It does not accord with the mandate of local government to be the epicenter of achieving the central focus areas of development, because the majority of municipalities are unable to raise own revenue. They are unable. At the same time, there are challenges around capacity to look at increasing the tempo and pace of local government. So we think that there's a need for a review of the fiscal framework, and in that review to look at differentiation. Where there's better demonstration of capacity in metropolitan cities, funds must accrue to local government, and local government has also demonstrated appetite to spend, especially on CAPEX. If you look at all our eight networks, almost six of them they continue to spend almost 95% of their budget on cables. So there is proven capacity to spend if we were to push very strongly for the evolution of certain functions, especially on cable. There are those municipalities, of course, who don't have capacity, which we think that differentiation could identify those, and we look at better ways of supporting those municipalities to improve their capacity. The second part is on the aspect of financial management and administration. So this goal looks at, in an ongoing way, to look at legislation, policies around accounting in the budget and financing of municipalities, the MFMA regulations, to look at ongoing refinement in terms of how we account and so on. And we think that so far, the support measures that have been put in place, they have assisted in a long way in improving local government. But I think the pace at which major reforms have been directed to local government has somewhat impacted on some of the municipalities being unable to account in a much more effective way. So ours is to push for a much more better dispensation around fiscal and financial management. We have also put in place a support program for those municipalities that are not receiving good audits from the Auditor General annually. And as well, we have what we call Municipal Audit Support Program, which we would also be launching this week to make sure that those municipalities that would be identified as almost in the most critical stage, receiving disclaimers and adverse opinion, and those who can't produce financial statements, will significantly reduce those municipalities in terms of remaining in that stage. So the last goal is more on the profiling of local government, looking at strengthening SALGA to play its effective IGL role and also lead in an exemplary way in terms of modeling itself as what should happen in the rest of the sector. These are the 10 flagship projects, Chairperson, that this year, 2014-2015, the leadership of SALGA has been mandated by municipalities to push for. One of those is the establishment of the Center for Leadership and Governance. As we have mentioned in goal number 4, issues of accountability and responsiveness are at the core of a well-functioning local government system. So we're looking at establishing, we've already done the scoping for the establishment of the center, and it would niche itself in focusing at the apex of leadership, that municipalities, mayor, speaker, councillor, in terms of executive training programs, coaching programs, in the various facets of their role in portfolio committees that they lead. The second part will be on senior management at municipalities. So we'll implement this as a standing institution for developing the leadership core for local government. The second part, we have already implemented what we call a executive coaching program for municipal leaders. We have done this immediately before elections in Eastern Cape, in Limpopo, and we are now looking at other provinces to make sure that the complexity of the various role players, the speakers, chief whips, the mayors in municipalities, what we normally refer to as troika, there must be a fair balance in the interplay between these various role players in such a way that effective leadership is given. So this program targets that kind of capacitation of leaders. So it will be rolled out across all provinces in an ongoing way. I've already mentioned the one of multidisciplinary advisory hands-on support for municipal audits. This is capacity on demand. It is also proactive capacity, directly municipality by municipality, but also to look at those critical municipalities that have challenges. And these programs, Chairperson, are not done in isolation to what is being implemented either by provincial treasuries or provincial cocktails and national. So we work collaboratively by targeting those municipalities where there is no focus on. We have already seen results on some of them. Last year we supported about 32, and there has been a positive correlation on outcomes this year in so far as those years. Leading the review of legislation that impedes on local government, Organized Local Government Act, already as mentioned by the Chair of SALGA, Municipal Structures Act, the Systems Act, and also what we call a Municipal Barometer. This year we will be working on launch a municipal barometer that would look at the minimum core indicators that we want to measure regularly in local governments, collecting data sets through SSA, various other credible data collecting agencies, and be able to measure across the board which municipalities are doing very well on the governance index, which municipalities are doing very well on audit, on service delivery, and so on. So that municipalities can, on an annual basis, be measured on how best are they doing and be supported where they fall below a particular benchmark. One good example we've done last 2 weeks was the launch of what we call municipal water barometer, water benchmarking initiative, to look at those municipalities that can rank internationally and domestically around quality delivery of water. So we will be looking at the rest of other delivery areas. The anti-corruption program, I've already indicated. The program number 6 is around the small town regeneration program, looking at unlocking rural economies and managing the urban-rural interface. That will also respond largely to what the President has indicated in his State of the Nation address in June around the mining town. Looking at small towns, how do we unlock the economies of those? So SALGA already in KZN has implemented some program across the 11 districts, and we're looking at other provinces where we would assist in bringing together various partners, your IGC, the small enterprises ministry recently established, as well as DTI around supporting these municipalities to unlock their towns. The support on the integration of PWP and CWP, again, is a central response to the job creation initiative, and the convening of the job creation summit remains a focus area for the SALGA leadership to look at how we can improve local government responsiveness to uptake high numbers around this program. The lead knowledge management program, the profiling of local government successes, will be one of those areas that will be ramping up going forward, because we think that there's a lot that municipalities are doing, but to a large extent, not well is being done to profile the school work that is happening in local government. So we'll be looking at profiling the good work done by local government. The quality management program for local government in SALGA, again, will be the barometer around measuring this. So those are the areas that in detail Chairperson will be looking at. And I will not go in detail point by point around the actual key performance indicators. They are detailed on the slide. Safe to indicate that in our strategic plan, we are on year number 3 in terms of our execution. We think we are on course. And the outer 2 years, we want to see measured outcomes of local governments that are improved. We have looked at some of these alignment of our goals in terms of how we will be reporting, and having identified about 63 priorities in terms of targets under each of the 6 mandates that we have identified, and these are spread across all our business units in South. These are just some of the key highlights of what are the key deliverables under each goal, which I will not go in detail, Chairperson, safe to say that these will be outcomes that we think under each goal we would like to see recorded in each of those areas. So if I were to proceed, Chair, to what are some of the policy ongoing engagements we have that we think is relevant. There is a need for a collaborative partnership. We have raised some of these largely with our department in terms of the level of COCTA. And one of the major areas on the flag is around the intervention bill. There is a bill that I'm not sure how far it is within the parliamentary process that looks at regulating how interventions have been done in local government. We think it will go a long way in assisting the inter relationship between SALGA's processes around interventions, legislature, NCOP participation, and so on. And we think that it will assist us in ensuring that interventions are managed properly. Around areas of unfunded and underfunded mandates, again, we have a menu of areas that we think beyond continuous reference to unfunded mandates, we need to exactly detail what are these areas that we think there is underfunding. And we would be approaching the next budget forum of October this year to push forward for these areas around health, around finances, around document settlement, and so on. The determination of upper limits of salaries of senior managers in local government is one area that we currently engage with the ministry around some of the areas that we think, if they are not attended to, it could create problems around managing this particular matter. The alignment of our capacity building initiatives and interacting closely with the department's intention to have the institute. The draft regulation on conditions of service for bargaining council employees, again, is an area of concern we have, and we have raised sharply with the ministry around what we think could be challenges if there is a move towards that direction. The consequences and accountability framework is one area that speaks to goal number four, where we think that there is a need for local government to have its own accountability and consequences management. When things are not happening, when audit outcomes do not reflect good, or there is under-capacitation in implementing municipal IDPs and budgets, what are some of the systems we can use to implement consequences? So this is one area that proactively organized local government is raising sharply. So it also responds to what AG annually raises, lack of consequences when there's a poor execution or implementation of the policies of council. The review of organized local government, again, marching towards 20 years of SALGA, its part-time status in FCOP, membership asking for full-time representation in the lawmaking process to make sure that we don't interact with the laws at the end of the pipeline when it is being staged. How do we make sure that at the conceptual stage, local government is at the table in terms of ensuring better outcomes? So we think that the review of organized local government will go a long way in strengthening SALGA. The devolution of housing function is one of the ongoing challenges. It has moved in pace, and there has been some challenges around the conclusion of this matter, and SALGA leadership remains optimistic that this matter will be overcome in terms of the delay. The reform of the electricity industry is one area that was largely undertaken up until a stage it was put on ice. We think that there's a need for review of this process because it continues to threaten the sustainability of local government. So it is a policy matter that needs to be concluded, and we think that its revival would go a long way in clarifying the role of ESCOM, the role of municipal distributors, and the role of private distributors of electricity and so on, in terms of our energy mix. The theft of electricity cables is one of the major problems that has been prominent most recently, and SALGA has always advocated for a much more tougher mechanism of designating this sort of crime as a major crime, almost akin to economic sabotage. And it's one area that has demonstrated itself very sharply over the last 3 months across municipalities. And we will be raising this matter through the crime and prevention cluster to look at current bylaws and designation of this kind of theft to attract the maximum form of penalty that we can look for. The Municipal Property Rights Amendment Act, it has gone through parliamentary process. And SALGA has raised sharply a number of weaknesses that we think, if they remain as they are, they would undermine sustainability of local government. So the leadership of SALGA has now, after it was passed in April, written to the President to ask for the president not to sign this resolution. So as if there is any way of clawing back these areas at the very stage, having detailed all these challenges, it is in its current form likely to weaken the sustainability of local government. The Public Administration Management Bill, it has already gone through Parliament, and SALGA has participated during the 75 and 76 processes and raised a number of areas that, whilst in full support of this legislation, there are certain arrangements that we think they need to ensure that the ITR system is fairly balanced in terms of the desired outcomes. We have also detailed these areas, and we think that they can be overcome. These are areas that we think we would continue to collaborate with COCTA around the finalization and implementation of the Integrated Urban Development Framework, around the special presidential package on the revitalization of mining towns. We are working collaboratively with the department, the professionalization of local government, as we have indicated, as well as the responses to municipal audit outcomes, plus the participation of traditional leaders in municipal processes. These are areas that collaboratively we are working very closely. At the NDP, I've already indicated all what the slide indicates is which of our goals speaks to what particular area in the NDP and what we think needs to be achieved. And these are largely detailed aspects, Chairperson, which I would not go point by point. They merely speak to what are some of the unfunded mandates, what will be raised in the budget forum, and so on and so on. So we think that beyond this APP, the chair of SALGA has already indicated the groundbreaking initiative of the Local Government Week, which was started in 2011-2012, hosted by the NCOP and SALGA. And it has gone a long way to create a balanced platform of reflection on good practices and showcasing some of the unintended consequences of laws that impact negatively on local government. And we think that it is a good theater for local government to interact directly with the national and provincial leadership at legislature to showcase good work and challenges where laws need to be refined. So this year we look forward to the next local government week. But as SALGA, we think we are maturing as we approach the 20 years, and we have a good story to tell around what are some of the key laws we have advocated for that have secured better representation for local government. What are some of the laws that we think need refinement as we go forward? At the level of sustainability, we also think that from an exemplary leadership role of SALGA, we are maturing, and this year consistently we also achieve better audit outcomes consistently for almost 5 years in a row. And we think that it's the story that we want the rest of municipalities that we represent to be associated to realize as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think the leadership of SALGA may want to add to some of the areas that you want. If you are happy with the presentation. When I remember that the presentation by the leadership of SALGA. Their annual performance plan, their goals. It's a very detailed presentation. Let us engage. Is the area that you want to clarify or want to engage with them? Mela? Honorable Mason? Mela?
Chairperson, thank you. I have quite a lot of questions. I don't know how you want to deal with it. I mean, do you want to deal with a few and move on to somebody else and come back to me later? Or can I just give you the whole lot and then...
No, but is that not 20?
and
I know that you've got capacity to ask 10 questions at the same time.
Okay, Jefferson, let me first raise some concerns that I have. And I've got five basic concerns. The first is I'm concerned about the politicization of SELGA, where party politics are starting to reflect in the way that SELGA operates. And I'm not going to point fingers at anybody, I'm just saying that I have a concern in this regard. The second concern is something that was raised in the analysis that was provided by our committee researcher, and that is SELGA's funding model, where it is pointed out that only 6% is derived from the national fiscus, 92% of SELGA's funding comes from municipal levies and membership, and the remaining 2% is in sponsorship donations and capacity building income. And that you, SELGA, are concerned about the fact that this funding model places a heavy reliance on member municipalities to fund the organization's operations and programs and is not optimal in light of the existing burden on municipalities to provide quality services with limited resources. Now, my concern is that SELGA is a representative body of municipalities. If it's funded to a greater extent by the national treasury, by the national fiscus, it then becomes to a certain extent subservient or beholden to the national treasury and the national fiscus and the national government. So I have a concern with that statement that you're looking for more from the national fiscus and less from the municipalities. And I would prefer to see that it kind of stays more or less where it is, where the bulk of your funding comes from the municipalities. My third concern, Chairperson, is with the and it was a common theme, it came up a couple of times, the term employer body, specifically with relation to collective bargaining and municipalities. I have served at both a local government level on a small rural municipality and in a metro municipality. And when SELGA agrees with the unions to a salary increase of, for argument's sake, 8%, it may be affordable in some places, but in others, it is absolutely not affordable. And we need to factor in, you spoke, sir, about the differentiated approach that needs to be adopted. I think we need to start looking at a differentiated approach to the negotiations as well on a salary structure. I haven't heard anything there at all about the district municipalities. That's a concern. I know that you're going to see your annual report in a couple of months' time. I think it's September time frame we see the annual report. And I hope that coming out of that we'll start seeing much more detailed targets than what we've got here, where there are measurables and progress against those measurables, because right here it's just very broad brush strokes as far as targets are concerned. Those are my concerns. Then I have some questions here. On goal three, where we're talking about planning and economic development at a local level, can you perhaps unpack for me the assistance that is being provided to municipalities with regard to the implementation of SPLUMA and the SPLUMA regulations? On goal four, I'm very pleased to hear that there's strengthening of community participation, public participation. I do think a lot more needs to be done in that regard, and I'd welcome some input in that way. How do we bring public participation into the budget process? How do we bring it into the IDP process, etc.? The other issue on goal four was mention was made of the Municipal Public Accounts Committee, and I would welcome some input as to how we strengthen those public accounts committees. I know that SELGA has a recommendation in that regard, but it doesn't seem to be implemented universally at all local municipalities. Then goal six. I would very much appreciate a lot more detail on the Municipal Audit Support Program. I think that is an excellent initiative, and I'd really love to hear a lot more about that. And also, it wasn't on your goals, but you spoke to the Municipal Water Barometer, and if I can get some detail on that, I'd be very, very appreciative. It's something that I'm personally very interested in. Thank you, Chairperson. Those are my questions for now.
Thank you very much.
A few issues. The first is just to congratulate the result on this document. I think there's a sense of improvement in that condition. Clarifying ideas, and I'm not talking about the thing that it continues to get. Having said that, just to say, no one has said this before and so on. There are a lot of acronyms in the document that needs to be looked at and be explained. So it is not taken as a given that all the acronyms are known. For instance, MIS, CD, GIGR, MF, MID, FCS, yes, and so on. So I can just take those up. The second issue that I wish to raise relate to the timelines on some of the things that SAVA intends doing it, especially towards the end of the document. I'm not saying we should tie ourselves and lay something down tightly, but you can say that certain things will be done within a particular period, especially in relation to representation, to specific national government departments, for instance, on the Justice Department issues. On the stealing of electricity cables, those kinds of issues are very, very important. I mean, they impact so negatively on national government and the people as a whole. And it's a kind of issue that I think some of them embrace boldly and challenge a whole range of stakeholders to do something about the issue. The third issue is on partnership with civil society. There's an issue that one has been raising with certain people, or mention who they are. But this issue is about how do we turn civil society around and get them to embrace the technique of ongoing and almost professionalized lobbying. So they are able to say, for instance, if Sanko was to work in a particular way, it would stand to gain so much as an organization. If they were to lobby for certain things, especially because there are many things that will be easy to do at municipal level that do not require even funding. So to get Sanko to master lobbying and engaging with government, and Sarga in an ongoing structured manner, because this war of winning people over to be positive rather than just leaving them to be frozen in some past discourse and past way of doing things. For example, I mean, there are certain protests that are completely uncalled. But we won't win that battle unless we engage at senior leadership level on these issues and setting them to think a bit much more better. Of course, there's a lot that Sanga itself will learn those engagements and interacts. In Nigeria, I think would be a very positive one. The last issue from the chair is really about the establishment of a government center on leadership and government. Challenging senior management and council. Why don't we maybe just to hear what the content is? This idea is long, but I myself at times have been on this kind of idea. But I remain convinced that this is one thing that will make a difference. Just training people on leadership in an ongoing manner and building capacity. So it's not just managers that we need, but we need leaders at both the administrative management, executive level, all your senior managers, as well as the political leadership or management level. Councillors and leadership and so on. I think it's a very, very important issue. Even if it starts small, but this is the kind of thing that can add momentum as we move into a future. But there are many issues of leadership that are not getting resolved and sorted out. The more people are empowered, the better. If more democratic is empowered in this kind of way, we have nothing to lose at the level of service. There's so much more to gain. Then there's just one or two general comments. This whole question of an independent SALC, I know that we talk about it, and I know that it's an idea that has come about because of the experiences SALGA has had to other organized local bodies across the world, and the problems that municipalities have globally, whether in Africa, in Europe, Latin America, America, and so on. The idea has some merit. But in terms of our constitution, it should not just be managed alone and in separation. It must be always be raised in relation to what the constitution says. The constitution speaks of a distinct sphere of government. So it says distinct, and it says interrelated, and then it says interdependent. So when you raise this idea, you must always raise in the context. Something is misunderstood. This is my own experience. So we need to carefully craft it and just ensure what you create it in a systematic, consistent sort of manner. So the characterization is right. No one can just cling to one element and think. So I'm saying that it's just distinct, it's separate. But consciously of distinct, interrelated, and interdependent. Yeah, I should stop.
Thank you for allowing us on.
Thank you, Chairperson. To speak after every time, sometimes it's difficult. But my son has mostly covered important. I'll say, starting with an end in terms of the vision that we are having with the 2031 and the NDP. The presentation is appreciated. Most of the areas are being covered. Yes, somewhere we may have those limits, like in terms of the district municipalities, it's not clarified. Area and also coupling the district issue in terms of the skills, the retention of skills, because districts should be like a hub of skills where the challenges in the local municipalities will be knowing that districts might be in a position of assisting and covering whatever areas that are needed to be covered. Coming to, as I said, starting with the end, in ensuring that we grow the development and we achieve what we want to achieve at the end of the day. So as some way you have your financial challenges and what should be the way forward in addressing those municipalities who are having difficulties in raising their revenue. And the issue of electricity, it's a thorny one. It really, we need to take it and. And also, maybe the theft of electricity cables. It has made me to think of these service delivery protests, whereby maybe people will be saying they want water, but they need libraries or schools at the very same time. So it's another area that maybe it should be dealt with also. And maybe to say, as we're looking at these issues, because they are regressing, we are regressing and then we are going back, we will not be able to realize our goals as say the 2030 vision if we will have these reverse. So in terms of the theft of electricity cable and these service delivery protests, because sometimes you find that they will remove your stop sign. It's an important sign. So we must, at the end of the day, may have a minimum description of sentences that you do this, this is what you, because there should be consequences at the end of the day. So we need not to just say theft of electricity and what then. You know, so there must be consequences. I think, Papa Solo has covered most of the areas. Yeah, I'll end here.
Thank you very much, Chair. Maybe I must also add my voice in congratulating Kalka for the good presentation that they've done for us. I think it shows that indeed the association is maturing with time. I think 20 years after SALGA was established, I think we must come to a point where the association will serve. I see one of the mandates of knowledge and information sharing. SALGA wants to serve as a hub of information and intelligence on local government issues. I think we must come to that point at some point where SALGA will be a repository of knowledge and information on all matters relating to local government as a true representative of the sector. I think we must at some point come to that point where if you want to know anything about local government, you must talk to SALGA. If you want information about the trends and developments in local government, you must be able to talk to SALGA. So I'm saying that you must develop that capacity so that indeed it becomes something that is realized that when you want to get information, you will come to you. Now, I just need to find out, because it's something that was not, it didn't arise from the presentation. In 2016, in a couple of months to come, we'll be going to local government elections. And I would like to find out in terms of SALGA as an employer body, in terms of the wage agreement that SALGA has got with the representative trade unions. because we don't want a situation where, as we approach local government elections, there will be some disruptions in the sector. So can you just brief us as to, I know that it's a multi-year agreement that you signed, but whether is it going to come to an end just before the elections or after? So that if it's going to come to an end before the elections, you must do something so that there is no disruption, because that process is a very important process of our people exercising their choice of who must lead them at local government level. Your focus area of rule number 6 on financial, I'm very interested in that, Chair, for a number of reasons, and I know I've raised it a couple of times at various forums about the sustainability of and viability of some municipalities, and what is it that you are going to do to make sure that those municipalities are viable. Because, Chair, we must never have a situation where our people feel the fruit of this democracy and liberation differently. That those who are staying in rural municipalities will forever not get the full benefits of the democracy and freedom. Because municipalities under which they are living under are not able to supply the full basket of services and infrastructure. That those of our people who are staying in rural areas are not able to get the kind of infrastructure that is obtainable in a metro. Because the fact that rural municipalities do not generate sufficient income to be able to improve their area impact directly on our people. So I'm quite interested in that debate, Chair, because it will talk to the issue of differentiation that you have spoken about. That resources must also be, those rural areas must also be able to receive the kind of resources financially. Even if it is not going to be the same, because the challenges are not the same, but at least they've got capacity to be able to sustain themselves and to deliver services to the municipalities. And I welcome the discussion, Chair, that has been raised there. And I think that also as a portfolio committee we can assist in that discussion. The second issue around financial management is the audit outcomes that you have raised as one of the responsibilities of SAGA is to support local municipalities around audit outcomes. This is a matter that continues to, it's a challenge that continues to confront us because you know that we had some targets around what should happen around the audit outcomes, and I think we should come to a point. I see SAGA has received now for the second consecutive financial year clean audits. Previously you received unqualified, but I think there were certain issues there, but for two terms you've received unqualified audits. And many of the municipalities are still struggling to get the kind of audit outcomes that SAGA is receiving. So I'm just going to urge SAGA there to focus on supporting municipalities which are struggling there to receive these audit outcomes. Also, Chair, I also have got a number of issues. Some of them are comments, some of them are questions. I don't know whether shouldn't we preparation for post-election support to the new councillors. I think we must start doing it now. Because if you are going to do it in the next financial year, you prepare when the new councillors have been elected already. We know that the trend has always been there is a high turnover of councillors. And SALGA is a body that must assist councillors with capacity building, with making sure that you prepare them for soft landing in their responsibilities. And I don't know, but I haven't picked up where SALGA is talking about preparation for post 2016 election in terms of capacity building and other processes that they are necessary for you to prepare the new councillors, given the high turnover that we have witnessed in the past. Another issue, Chair, that I would like to raise, there was a study conducted by the South African Institute of Regulation. I think it was last year, which study showed that two-thirds of the South African population is now living in urban areas. So the South African society is urbanizing on a daily basis. I think they showed that it moved from 52% in 1990 to 62% in 2011, so 10%. And this has got a corresponding, you know, effect on the population in the rural areas, that it has decreased from 48% to 38% now. So which means that there is some kind of I don't want to call it burden, some kind of increased challenges on providing infrastructure in the urban areas. And I see that one of the goals of SALGA is also to assist municipalities around the issues of infrastructure development. So I'm saying that this must continue to be a challenge for organized local government, because as the population gets urbanized, there is more demands in the metro municipalities, which are your members, to be able to plan accordingly. And this trend, according to this study, is going to keep on increasing. The other issue, Chair, that I would like to raise is the question of the separation of powers in terms of executive and legislature function in the municipalities. The presentation says that there is some work that you are doing, but I would like you to elaborate on that, because from where I'm seated, I don't really see much difference. I don't know whether the intervention required is of a legislative nature or of more of a regulatory nature, or do we have to amend legislation so that we can achieve this? Because quite often it's a problem that the mayor or the executive mayor wants to be both, you know, play both roles. So without necessarily entrenching the or reinforcing the culture of oversight over the executive at the local government level. And the other issue, Chair, is the structure of local government system. Now, we currently have a two-tier system of local government where you've got district municipalities and local municipalities. And I think throughout the years, there has been voices agitating for a review of this two-tier system of local government. That shouldn't you strengthen local municipalities so that they are able to deliver services, because quite often you've got concurrent powers between the district and the local, and you find at some instances that some of the responsibilities can better be performed at the local government, and make sure that you strengthen and capacitate the local municipalities. Lastly, Chair, the Leadership Center versus the School of Government. There is a school, Palama has been transformed into, I don't know what it's called now. Shouldn't local government agitate more for that school to have probably a faculty that can be more concentrated on local government leadership and issues that relate to local government, instead of establishing our own institute or our own center, which, you know, it's the processes of establishing that kind of a center can prove to be quite demanding in terms of resources and otherwise. So shouldn't that be the approach instead of doing another institute and so forth? Sorry for taking your time.
We must engage very well on some of the issues and make comments. I think the leadership is here, the staff is here, summarize it. Just to ensure that for future engagement, at least we have raised many issues. And start and go into real issues that affect them at the local government level. I think we are all saying this because anyway we are staying also in areas that are governed by local government. It would be very rare anyway to find anyone Bama.
Yeah.
Very rare to find anyone who doesn't have a world cancer in South Africa as we stand. All of us we do have world cancer. Whether they work or not is a separate issue, but they are there. And our government is very important for all of us. So what do you want us to do?
Let me join the chair that welcome the report first. And some of my issues have already been raised, Chair, but others may raise differently to ensure my understanding as well. The first one, Chair, is the issue of the data that the department has, particular SALCA. Almost all municipalities got a very good data, which data that can be used even for states, South Africa, other than that they go around for certain information. I really appreciate your move to say that now, this time around, you want to do something about that data. Because you are the only department that knows almost each and every home base that is there in the local municipality. That data is quite important. Even though often you find getting being abused. Sometimes even for political reasons, people that data are being getting into the wrong hands. But I think it would be good for the department to ensure that the such data is kept in a very safe and used meaningfully. The other, it was just a comment, Chair, on that one. The other thing, Chair, that I want we want to propose to SALCA is that there are municipalities where issues of service delivery is on the high of the agenda. And some of them have even been legislated. There are issues like eradication or of the basket system. I think SALCA knows such municipalities. How do you ensure that in such areas where there are agreements and decisions, even by the legislative point of view, get implemented without fail? Other than that, again, it's also get used or raised for sometimes even for political agenda. how do you ensure that you are the first on the line to say, here are the problems in this municipality, let's fix it? That goes in line, Chair, with the question of the infrastructure. The infrastructure, there are some municipalities that are in a terrible state. So what problem do you have to ensure those, to say those that a municipality get assistance? Other, Chair, is the question of the collection of the revenue. Those municipalities are failing to do such things. How do you assist them? We have a program of assisting them besides just funding them. We will appreciate, Chair, if such areas can be raised. And then in the issue of corruption again, Chair, there are a number of municipalities, in particularly management, that have found their hands in the wrong side. The question of the offender, do you have a role? What do you do as well to assist such municipality where senior leadership is being found on the wrong side? Do you have a problem of assisting them? Or as Zalka, you assess yourself, you let that municipality to solve those problems for themselves. And lastly, on the issue of the bargaining, for bargaining councillor, that if there are agreements that get agreed upon on the Zalka level with the trade union, but sometimes not implemented on other municipalities, how do you ensure that agreement that is taken on the Zalka level get implemented as well without fail? We know of a municipality that was taken to court, and even after taken to court for failure to implement decision that has been agreed upon on Zalka. So what's your role? How do you ensure that those municipalities ensure that such agreement get implemented? Thanks, Chair, but most of the other issues were...
Yeah, thank you, Chair. My first question is on I don't like to... Okay, let me also welcome the report, but I'm not going to say it's good report because it's beautiful, beautifully done. But I welcome the report. The first issue is on Zalka and Leadership Academy. I want to know the investment, the 2 million investment that we're talking about on Leadership Academy. Who are the people that we think we're talking about that want to train? Okay, let me say, should you not do it the other way around, that municipalities in relation possibly with institutions equipped to like institutions of higher learning should be focusing on these programs directly themselves? Does it make an impact? Because a councillor is a councillor today, if you say in forums to mayors, 3 months down the line, you no longer have a mayor. You have invested a lot of money to build leadership. And does that then assist us when in having value for money? Or shouldn't we have this attached to institutions closer to these municipalities rather than have an institution such as Halka at national level doing it? That's my first question. The second question, if you're talking about a multi-party, a multi-disciplinary advisor, and then you're talking about the purpose, which you want to improve audits of municipalities, I want to ask a question. First thing, I think we started celebrating 13 or 15 or 20 years, I don't know. But I want to know what happened before. Was there no intervention made? That now in 2014, we're thinking of having an intervention in relation to assisting municipalities. Because many municipalities for a very long period of time have coped with the faced with them. Do we have a resource put in place to intervene in that respect to assist municipalities in dealing with this aspect? Maybe it's the account that we're not getting, as if this is a new intervention that you're doing. I assume. I'm new in this community, and you must understand that, yeah, that new. If there were other interventions, what have you invested on them? That will inform us going to the future what do we need. You spoke about an anti-corruption program. Seemingly SAGA took a resolution in respect to this, but the monitoring of the implementation of the resolution has not been done. What are the kinds of good interventions that SAGA thinks? Because in the main, this is my belief, I always say to people, even when I address a rally, that we have the best run national department. It's in the main, some of them. The corruption you see in national government is very small. But the one that you see in local government is the one that can even collapse the foundation of our democratic society. That the festival of corruption is happening at the level of local government. Now, from your part, tangible, concrete proposal that was put your place, whether in that conference or in that resolution, to say you want to arrest the demon of corruption in local municipalities. That's another question that I want to say. Amongst the other problems municipalities are faced with is that people who are not suitable to occupy positions are occupying positions. What intervention or guidelines that we have brought in place to deal with this aspect? It has affected many municipalities in relation to municipal managers. A person who has political studies goes and be a CFO, biblical studies. But this continues in many of our municipalities every day. And you find out that the collapsing municipalities are the ones where there's no framework that counts. Because councillors just create that they want Kelvin, they create a post according to Kelvin's qualification. He has standard 10, doesn't know, a suitable candidate, because legal is allowed. If you outsource, if you advertise based on a particular criteria, it's not illegal. You can say you need standard 10 for a municipal manager. Okay, let me to wrap up, sir.
To ensure that they are not getting too late to another meeting because there's a sitting next to that meeting was a very critical, that is an arrangement. I'm not saying that we mustn't put question to them, we mustn't put question in a counter question. Maybe one thing that we can do, even if the leadership per se is not allowed, because we can expect honorable. Because you are having a very important decision. But we believe that you have found that we are very beneficial. And we always appreciate that one person has been as a part of that team. Well, as we said, never feel comfortable. I would be here every time. As long as there's one person has been in charge of the situation. Finally, the discussion is that I think a long and meeting because it seems. All the comrades inside, they've got profound issues that they want to raise. But within the limited time, I know that we have to leave the delegation to meet with another delegation in Parliament. I think it's going to be very difficult to have sufficient time. Then there's an appeal here that I want to make.
talking about is going to be on the program. We might have a lot of things in the program. If we are going to have time for Saga again, when you come back, it's fine. If we are not, they should write, if they don't have time, write this thing for us as responses and get them in writing. But let me continue with what I was saying. In finalizing, yes, the leader raises a very important issue about developmental planning. It's written here. I'm not sure I agree. I have seen in many towns that new structures are being built. I know that Saga wants to promote and want to assist in terms of new development and addressing the apartheid special framework. I've seen new buildings coming in to come and intervene in that respect. But I am very worried. Our towns are becoming ghost towns. I have traveled throughout the country. The only reason why cities are becoming ghost towns is because zoning of cities and towns is not the zoning principles and laws are not adhered to. In the Nelson Mandela municipality, a government put more than 20 million in infrastructure development of the inner city for a restaurant hub, beautiful place. Just 1 year, it became a restaurant hub. The following year, it became a saloon, a hairdresser, a tavern, and that, and that, and that. 20 million infrastructure put for that. The inspection aspect of monitoring cities, that cities are failing to that. Therefore, I think SALSA should also look into the issue of capacity of inspectors who inspect the city. Now they have a saloon, they have a tavern, they have a car wash now, a dry area in the middle of the city. Everything, like everything, is becoming a breeze taxi.
If you look at the the revenue collection on monthly basis. For instance, of the municipality, and that is from where I come from, you find that the municipality is collecting between 6,000 and 7,000 rand per month. And these towns have actually grown. They are now, think they are no longer as small as they were before. So when you ask them to say, why don't you collect more because your township is now big, they don't seem to be serious about it. They just brush it aside and sort of given the constraints of the municipality's financial situation, they load up the community, the residents in the town, and they leave out those who are in adjacent communities, those that are in this small township. They don't actually contribute to the revenue. I think these municipalities are looking out on a very big amount that could actually be assisting this municipality. Now my question is that in this regeneration exercise, what is South Africa doing in order to sort of influence these townships around these small towns to contribute towards the revenues of the municipality? Thank you.
Well, let me invite the leadership of staff. Just bear in mind that we won't exhaust every power. I think the staff, they must arrange another meeting immediately after our business. We'll appreciate that if the leadership at the TIA comes also. Since we have a real discussion about the matters of local government, I'm just worried. Even some of the points that colleagues have raised are very profound points, but we wouldn't have time to answer many of them. Some of them are real profound comments that are very useful as we take the local government to the next level of development. We will need enough time, and the staff will see with the leadership of the committee what how can we do it. But after research, I think we should have time, colleagues. I know that local government is not very poor. SACA is rich. They organize a big workshop with all of us. They can even sponsor flights everywhere. They are one of the richest organizations in South Africa. Yeah, I think we should do that. Let us do that. And I think the CEO and colleagues, we have captured all the points. And then even if you forward them in answer form, but just bear in mind that sometimes answers are low and wouldn't assist us to engage. Because I think the intention of the members is not really to pose questions, but also to make proposals themselves. Because they are running this themselves, they are members, they are lawmakers primarily, to assist you to address some of your challenges. Therefore, lawmakers should be the well-informed people in any country. That's why in other countries they've got more researchers than in other places. Otherwise, they make long laws. Right now, with past bills, they are telling us that those bills have a negative impact on you. But they passed the bill, in fact, we kept our hands in the National Assembly. Because they didn't tell us that there are problems. And I think this coordination that you are proposing, and also that you are going to be discussing now, will assist us to address some of these weaknesses. And then I'm persuading members there. That's where we should then proceed now, allow them to conclude, and then they come back, and in 2 weeks' time, we have a real discussion about some of the issues. Because the advantage of Manios is that this side also, there are colleagues, about seven of them, who have been part of local government, and they are here now. When they look back, I think there are a lot of things that they can assist us to ensure that. You know this one. Whatever. He kept on Ilele. He said long stream.
Yeah.
Ilele completely. No Pumala Parliament with the army, yes, I don't move up. He was Ilele, my city is a strong guy, Alale soup. And then competing with cities that they're operating for 24 hours, you can't work. Because they're just Alale general. I'm not sure which one is the Salada Masitu header, but General Masitu Alad. So, my son can't walk here, so we're not there with another band of food that left to Parliament. So, the Alad, I think I'm a comrade today, our members. I think Melham Mangi the comrade, I think, will accept it now. He was a comrade anyway, in disguise.
I'll accept that for now, but I would ask that you refer to the DA members as honourable members.
Thanks, Chairperson, and all honourable comrades. Chairperson, yes, let us also appreciate your remarks that we do need a session where we will respond and also discuss on some of the issues. As you indicated, Chairperson, some of the issues are not necessarily questions, but issues that we also need to start looking into moving forward. Yes, on the issue of interventions on audit outcomes, now that the Auditor General will be tabling formally his report, we are going to also make a response in that regard. So it will be proper that we then come and say what is it that we intend doing. But I just wish to indicate that previously, yes, there have been those interventions, and we're looking specifically into the municipalities. What we realize that even our interventions in terms of the act, sometimes we don't do the right diagnostics, and then we intervene only to find that when we come back again, not much has happened, simply because we didn't really identify where the problem is. So it has been a learning curve for all of us in government, and it will be proper that we come back again then, maybe in 2 weeks' time, as you're indicating, to deal with these matters, including also mainly the issue on the leadership academy. This government, we all know, it has been investing huge amounts of money on training of counselors, officials, and so forth. But the main question is this government getting value for money? Mm. Here you'll find that I think our approach in the country has not necessarily been the right approach. We've been thinking a one-fit-all size works in training. Simply because we have taken people through a capacity program, then we assume that we will then get value for money. The intention of SALGA, having learned from other experiences like in Germany with our counterparts, the VNG and so on, is to become a sort of a SABS body on what type of training for leadership can assist municipalities to be able to perform better. So whether the training or the skills development program will be offered by an external institution or so forth, the main thing is for SALGA to be central on making sure that its members get the best training for this country to be able to prosper. So I think those are the issues that we will be discussing in that meeting that you are envisaging, Chairperson. And yes, there have been issues that have been raised. The role of district municipalities, what in terms of our performance plan, that much needs also to be looked into and so forth. I think those are the issues that we will discuss. But, Chairperson, may I also take the opportunity just to indicate to members, even if it's not directly linked to the annual performance plan or directly to what this committee will be looking into, to say that SALGA also is playing a role in the continent and also in the world.
the chairperson of SALGA presently is also the president of local governments in the SADC country. Maybe the title of excellency comes in there. But yes, we as a country, our role in terms of unifying the continent, in terms of putting the African agenda, whatever that means, on matters of local government, the issues of gender representation, the issues of looking into our cities as African cities, vis-a-vis the old cities, your London area and so on. Because as they do, they've got what we call informal businesses, informal workers and so on, which basically are making them distinct from other cities, and how we grapple with that so-called informal economy, of which obviously we are saying there shouldn't be any informal economy. The economy must be formalized in cities and so forth. So I'm just trying to say, there are those issues that may not necessarily be the mandate in terms of the constitution, but they are matters that we as organized local government have to deal with. The issues of the movement of people, displaced people, through poverty, as we are experiencing in our country, through wars, because they put pressure, as the leadership is indicating here, on rapid urbanization that puts much pressure on all the resources, whether it's infrastructure or it's health matters and so on. Because those people who are moving from rural areas to urban areas, we normally say, better the person at the plastic is such a gas, not much skills. But the issue is, they have hope that they will be able to survive in these urban centers. And then how do we respond in that scenario where you have rapid urbanization with lack of necessary skills to survive and so. So those are the challenges that we basically are looking into with our counterparts in the Africa continent and also in the World Forum that SALGA is also participating in. But generally, the issue is at SALGA, and I hear that there are also expectations from members that we need to do more in assisting municipalities, not only on these issues that I'm highlighting, but also on some of the critical issues that are coming up. Even if this case, on an investment that ultimately becomes really nothing much to add to the economy of the particular city. In our own city in Chairperson, we will also raise the challenges that we are faced with as South Africans in running our municipalities and cities, because sometimes the problems are not necessarily structural. They also are political. And I think we will then be able to deal with those issues. You might find that it is not the issue of the structure, nor the capacity of the managers and so on in the area, but it is also the politics that are prevailing in a particular area. But on the issue that, the first issue that was raised on SALGA being either on the threat or so of being involved in intra-party or party politics, I would like to put it on record that with this administration, when SALGA was established, the first thing that we also looked into was this matter, that it doesn't matter which municipality you serve in. The main thing is all municipalities are having South Africans that are expecting the same level of service. No matter the party affiliation, no matter gender, sex, belief, they all are South Africans, and we as SALGA we obviously must basically deal with issues in that light. And that has been the vision that we have been really putting forth. Because a failure of one doesn't matter which. A failure of one municipality puts pressure on others, and it becomes a domino effect. So we as Salga, we also are the custodian of the integrity of these municipalities. Hence, we are under pressure to make sure that they really perform in the manner that all South Africans would really be proud of. And we know the challenges that are there. So I think it is quite important that I put this first on record before we can also then deal with the issues that members have raised on targets, on certain issues of the goals and so forth, which Chairperson already have guided that we need to have a session where we will be able to deal with these matters. But from our side, Chairperson, before you close your meeting, I must indicate that as Salga, and with this leadership of Salga, we really are prepared to work very hard in making sure that all of us leave a legacy that South Africans can be really proud of in terms of our involvement at local government level. And in terms of preparing for local government elections, we already are engaging also with our officials to look into those matters to make sure that there is stability as we move forward. We also have our own concerns that now some of the protests and so on are politically motivated rather than issue-based. You know, it's a general term now, delivery protests in the country. And yes, we really are pushing forth that if any person burns a library, obviously, it is tantamount to treason, because it is about the future generations. It is no more really about the lack of service delivery at a local government level and so forth. And we seriously, as South Africans, need to jointly look into this matter. So what type of future cities, municipalities, towns we want to live, because even if we occupy this space presently, it is a space that we have borrowed from those who are still coming in. And we really must be able to handle that space in a manner that they can appreciate it when we have left. And I think those are the issues that we will also be dealing with in that meeting where it's a person you say we should come back and deliberate on this matter. Bankoli, I would like you to just indicate on the issue of wage negotiations. Yes, it is true. So that just we leave the members maybe.
Thank you.